Well, let's continue our study on the gifts of the Spirit tonight. The gifts of the Spirit are something very, very powerful for everyone that is Spirit-filled that God can use any one of us in. Amen? It's not something that only ministers of the gospel are used in. It's something that the Spirit-filled believer can operate in as the Holy Spirit wills. And so, I'm going to read the portion of Scripture first, and then we'll continue. Last time, we left off with the gift of prophecy, and so we will talk about that here in a second. But I want to read, just again, the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed," or ignorant, as the King James would say. "For you know that when you were pagans or unsaved, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." I'm reading from the NIV. "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are diversities or different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, or for the benefit of all. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, or the word of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, or the word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, or the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." And so the Scripture declares the reality of the originator of these gifts. It's God the Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts severally as He wills, as the King James would say. Now, we've been going through the variety of the gifts, and so let me just flip through some of these slides just to get to that list real quick. We know that they are charismata, they are varieties of service, and they are power, gifts of spirit, gifts of power, I should have said. It says that the Holy Spirit will, that you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so we mentioned these gifts. The ones that are revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The next group were those gifts that cause the Spirit-filled believer to act supernaturally, or these are the power gifts. The gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gift of healings. And then last but not least were those that anoint the Spirit-filled believer to speak supernaturally, and those were prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and these were the utterance gifts. Now tonight, we will be getting into these three, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues, along with discerning of spirits. Now these gifts are very important gifts, as we've been mentioning already. They're powerful gifts. And when the Holy Spirit decides to use us in that way, powerful things can happen, sometimes in the miraculous, amen? Going beyond the natural realm or natural laws into the arena of the supernatural. Going beyond just normal laws and making things that should not happen, happen. For instance, as we mentioned the last time, when Moses was there at the Red Sea and he crossed the Red Sea as it opened up, by the power of God, and they walked across on dry ground. That's a miracle, right? When Elijah prayed for the widow and said that that oil would not cease to be, remember, he said, "Make the cake, bake it all for me." And when she looked for the oil there, it kept on, it never went dry. I remember Pastor Carter Conlin, who's the senior pastor of Times Square Church, he was talking about For instance, the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus fed 5,000, another time 3,000, with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, fed the multitude. That's a miracle. He was talking about one time they invited some people over to the house, and at that time, his wife, who is Teresa Conlon, she's the president of the school now where I was at, they were there, and she had some spaghetti for the family, and lo and behold, a lot of guests came way more than they expected, and they thought, how are we going to feed so many people? And as they were just filling the plates with the spaghetti, before you knew it, they had enough spaghetti to feed that whole multitude, which should have only fed just a few. It's amazing how God can intervene and provide in miraculous ways. God, I'm sure, has done it in ways even here. I'm sure that you have testimonies in the past of how God has met this church. Amen? And He's going to continue to do so as we trust and believe in Him. The word of knowledge, as we mentioned the last time, is just a word. It's not like He gives us all knowledge about every situation. He gives us just a fragment of the mind of God, facts that are in His mind concerning people, places, or things, a very powerful gift. And we had many scriptural examples, but we'll continue from there. We looked at the word of wisdom in the same way. It's a wise word. Sometimes it could involve even confirmation concerning the mind, the will of God, and even plans for people's lives. Sometimes God can anoint a minister of the gospel to speak these words and will confirm to our hearts the call of God. Amen. Or what God is doing in our lives. A word of wisdom can do that. Jesus, for instance, at another time was asked, what should we do with this money? Should we give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus responded and said, well, give me one of your coins. And he says, who is this? And they said, Caesar. And he says, well, then give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give to God the things that are God's. And it left them dumbfounded. It silenced them because of such wisdom. And so that word of wisdom can be the ability to give a wise statement in a particular situation that it's not coming from you, but God is giving you the wisdom at that moment. Amen? Or words that will confirm the call of God on lives. The gift of faith operates so as to give us the ability to act in a very powerful way or believe God for powerful things with faith that is not our own faith. It's the gift of faith. To believe God for the miraculous, for the supernatural. And at times, these gifts piggyback on each other. Sometimes the gift of faith will come into operation so as to believe God for the gift of miracles and pray for someone and the miraculous take place. Amen? Or even a healing or what have you. Okay? It's a supernatural endowment by the Spirit of God. Healings is the gift of healing that operates, but it's not in any way healing in the natural. It's not through the medical field, and thank God for the medical profession. We need doctors and all that. But again, it's without natural means, but it's very effective in the field of evangelism. I remember, I forget his name, he was one of the leaders in the Assemblies of God of the missions, John Bueno, if I'm not mistaken, was his name. He was talking about being there in, he was preaching in Times Square Church one time. He's actually on the board of World Challenge. He was talking about being in, I think it was Costa Rica or somewhere in Central or South America. And he was talking about how an evangelist, there was things going on in the big city in Costa Rica, I think it was. And things were going on to where there was not time for a big revival to happen, but an evangelist came through and said God was telling him to preach evangelistically in a big coliseum there in the midst of such a place of turmoil. And so John Bueno said, I don't know if you're actually, are you sure you're hearing from God? And this evangelist said, yes, God told me to start and to preach the gospel here. And so he says, well, he had faith. I'll be honest with you, I didn't, he said. And so they rented the Colosseum out. They began to preach the gospel the first night. And there was even the mayor of the whole city in the Colosseum. And as he was preaching the gospel to the small crowd that came the first night, all of a sudden, there was a person that needed healing. They came up to the front, and he prayed by the Holy Spirit and prayed for that individual, and they were healed that night. Even those that were skeptics, the mayor of the city said they were atheists. They didn't believe in God or the power of God, and much less of an Assembly of God minister. You know what I mean? But when they saw that healing take place, they said God was in the midst, and that person became a believer. By the time they knew it, the next night, there was more in that Colosseum. By the end of the week, that Colosseum was packed, full of people, hearing the preaching of the gospel and seeing the power of God in the midst. Now, the gift of healings can be used very effectively to show people that God is at work. Amen? And so the gift of healings is something that God can choose to allow to operate through us. I remember there at the school, there was a young girl. Her name was Melissa Donovan. And she went on a mission trip to Africa with a small group of youth from her church. And they came from a little Assembly of God church there in Indiana. And she says that when she went to Africa, there were people that came, you know, for the things that they were doing, a lot of, you know, little African kids. And she was there, she said she began to pray for people, and God began to anoint her to pray for healing for little kids and for those that came. And she said she saw the power of God. And this was a young, spirit-filled believer, but God can use anyone. Amen? And so we should pray, God, help us to move in those gifts. The working of miracles is very similar to healings. However, they're gifts that are moving in the arena of the energy, the power of the Holy Spirit, and of course, moving in the miraculous. It's going beyond what is in the natural realm in manifesting in a supernatural way, beyond the accepted order of things. This is God breaking in and just doing what He chooses to do. It's like when someone doesn't have a limb or an arm and you pray for them and you see a creative miracle take place. The president, former president of the school, her name was Catherine Logan. She had prayer meetings in her house. And one time a lady came in just hunched back. She couldn't even bend back up. And as she was praying, and she says, does anybody need prayer for healing? And she laid her hands on this young lady. And she says she saw with her own eyes her get straightened up and totally healed by the power of God. And so it was a miracle to watch the creative hand of God straighten out a bent back. Amen? And so it's amazing how that can happen. Now, today, we're going to get into the gift of prophecy. Prophecy. Now, when we consider the gift of prophecy, we begin to think of those of the Bible or those of the Holy Writ. For instance, we think of Ezekiel or Elijah. We think of the prophets of old and how they began to minister and began to foretell by the power of God and begin to tell future events. But this gift of prophecy is not necessarily the gift that the prophet of the Old Testament had. It's not a gift to where you go and say, this is what's going to happen in the future. This is not how this gift is. And so someone in the church can't say, I have the gift of prophecy so as to tell when the end of the world is going to occur. It's not where this gift is operating whatsoever. This is a little bit different, okay? When we think of it again, our minds think naturally, or our minds think of men of the Holy Writ or the Bible who foretold the future in great sweeps of vision like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. They were prophets, but they also were voices of God to convey His message to the people for the prophet's day and time. Now, think about it in that way. They were speaking forth the message of God. They would say, thus says the Lord. And I'm not sure how much the gifts of the Spirit have operated in this church in the past, but I'm sure that you've heard the gifts operate before. And when a gift of prophecy is uttered, at times the one that is used in this gift will say, thus says the Lord, and begin to give that prophetic word. It's a message not for the world out there. The prophet ministers to the church, the body of Christ, the congregation that is in that church. So it's not a message for the world out there. It's a message for the church. It's a forthtelling of the very word of God. The word prophecy actually means to speak forth, to flow forth. In the Old Testament, prophets were both forthtellers of future events and forthtellers of the message of God. Now, when you think about the message of God, that's where prophecy is in regards to the New Testament church. Again, it's not a prophetic word in regards to end days. It's a message from God. But the reality of that message is this. The scope And the reality of how this gift will operate will be this way. It's defined in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and it says this: it's unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. So a prophetic word, should the gifts of the Spirit operate in this church in the coming days, and we hear a prophetic word come forth, that word will always be unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification is a word that means to build up, to edify, to build up. It's as if you're getting a house and you're building it up for it to be strong and have a firm foundation, to stand strong, to edify, to build up. To exhort means to encourage. An exhortation can be something to encourage in regards to just keep going forward. Hang in there. You're doing okay. Keep going forward. Amen? Sometimes an exhortation can be somewhat strong. In other words, don't do this, but continue doing that. Amen? But it was never destructive. Never destructive. Okay? And comfort. So think about those words. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Should we ever be in the church and someone gets up and begins to give forth a word, a prophetic word, and it hurts the body, or it begins to bring a heaviness to the congregation, you can guarantee that it is not a prophetic word. Did you hear what I said? Because sometimes you can have things happen in a church. You know, this church is growing. Amen. I believe it's going to continue. I believe we're going to see more. But as it continues to do that, and if we're believing God for the gifts of the Spirit to operate, sometimes you'll have someone get up in the flesh, or you can have someone that gets up and doesn't have the gift at all, but thinks they do. And we need to be discerning. Those of us that are more mature in the Lord or growing in the Lord, I think many of us in this room are, amen? We should be able to discern that which is of God and which isn't. Now, one of the first criteria, first and foremost, with all of the gifts of the Spirit, is it's always to build up the church. You know, whenever you have a minister come into the church and seems to operate in the gifts and they're condemning the church, that's not a man of God. Did you hear that? If they make you feel like God's out to get you and out to destroy your life and you better repent before you burn in hell and you're no good and you're worthless, and then don't let that word go into your spirit. Get up. Walk out. You're safer doing that than just let that foolishness come into your spirit. Amen? You don't want to do that. I mean, and so we don't need to worry about thinking, oh, that's a man of God. But if it's hurting you, if it's tearing you down, if it's not benefiting your spiritual life, then it's not of God. It's going to always be unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. I remember when I was first saved, and somewhat a little bit afterwards, I'll be honest with you, you know, I've had the privilege of, as I've stated before, to be around ministers like David Wilkerson. I mean, this is a minister of the gospel that's been used mightily of the Lord. And I've heard statements where some people say, you know, you're even afraid to sit in front of them because it seems like if they're reading, just looking right into you, you know, and reading everything about, you know, because we're not perfect. No one is. And so you're like afraid. Oh no, what if they expose me? Or what if they do something, you know, and sometimes there's this unfounded fear. But it's really unfounded. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. If any minister is a true minister of God, they're not going to be out to expose or hurt us. Amen? Even if God used them to speak strongly in our lives, that strong word is meant to help us, not to hurt us. Amen? Because sometimes there are times when we're a little wayward and we need to be told, you better get back into line. Amen? But even then, it means to be a good word to build us up. Amen? And so think about that scope in regards to prophecy. It's a word that flows by the Spirit to encourage the congregation. It's to build up the congregation. I remember the first time I saw the gifts of the Spirit operate. It was actually back in 1993, I think it was. I was a young Christian, barely started going to church. And we went to a youth convention over there in Salt Lake City, Utah. The evangelist that was speaking there was evangelist Chris Clark. How many of you heard of Chris Clark before? Mm-hmm. He was ministering there, and he was being used of God. But I remember the praise and the worship. It was, wow, you know, it was good. It wasn't this modern stuff. You know, they weren't hip-hopping. They weren't thrashing with heavy metal. It was just good old-fashioned praise and worship, you know. I remember songs like some we sing them here, you know, good old fashioned where you just want to worship God kind of songs, you know. And then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost would come with the holy hush. He would come in silence, and all of a sudden you could hear the silence come in, so silent that you could hear a pin drop. You know, just by the Spirit. It wasn't manufactured. It just as the Holy Spirit moved. And all of a sudden there would come forth words of prophecy, and all of a sudden, thus says the Lord, you know, and bam, and when it was of God, you can sense the touch of God. You can feel it. You know, maybe goosebumps or, there's a confirmation in your spirit, a knowing that it's of God. And I remember the first time I saw that, and we're going to continue with tongues and interpretation as well. There would be words of, you know, a tongue would come out, and then the interpretation would come out. So one tongue was way over there, the interpretation coming out from here. And I always appreciated how evangelist Chris Klock kept the order in that whole thing. The scripture says, let three speak. In other words, you don't continue going to 10. That's out of order. God is a God of divine order. And that's what Paul was doing here in this book of Corinthians. He was establishing order to the gifts. And so he's actually bringing out here, those gifts are into edification, to build up, exhortation, to encourage, and to comfort. Sometimes we need the comfort of God. And when that prophetic word comes out, there's a word of comfort. Amen? And it's amazing how that word can just speak to hearts and individuals all the way through. Let me go back. But that word of prophecy, as in all of the gifts, are meant to build up, not to destroy. Amen? And God's not out there trying to play guesswork either. You hear what I'm saying? If a man of God begins to play guesswork and say, is your head hurting right now? And it isn't. God's not missing the mark. God is on target. Amen? If we're missing the mark too much, that person is usually operating in the flesh. And is, you follow what I'm saying? God's able to tell us exactly what's wrong if God's really moving. Amen? And so we don't need to pretend. We can let God be God. Now, let's go to the next one here. This is discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is also an interesting gift. Sometimes we have operated in those gifts and we didn't even realize. There are times when you can be in a particular situation or in a church, in a congregation, and there's just something in your spirit that you know something's not right. Sometimes it can be a minister of the gospel is preaching and it's just not sitting right. Amen? And something inside of you is saying, red flags are flying out. And we don't even realize sometimes that that is the gift of discerning of spirits coming into operation, warning us and helping us to even discern what's going on. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits is the supernatural endowment by the Holy Spirit to detect. Again, it's a discerning of spirits, to detect the presence of such spirits. For instance, doctrines of demons. You can sometimes turn on the radio, watch TV, and sometimes you'll begin to watch those ministers or some of those that claim to be, and something does not sit right. The best thing you can do is flip the channel. Amen? I remember one time reading a book, and it was supposedly from a minister. And you begin to read, and something does not sit right. And you just can't continue reading. Have you ever been there before? You got to get rid of the book. You're not going to lose anything anyways. Amen? We got the book of books anyways. But if there's sometimes a discerning that begins to happen in us that is telling us this is not right. And when you sense that, lo and behold, that's that gift of the Spirit operating. Sometimes even seducing spirits. Those are spirits that are meant to deceive. They're trying to lure or trying to pull a person into something that is wrong. Seducing spirits. Deaf spirits. Even blind spirits. Remember Jesus cast out the devil out of, well, a demon, I should say. There's only one devil. The King James talks about many devils. That's wrong. There's only demons, one devil, right? But it was in regards to demons. Anyways, he cast out a demon, and both the deaf and the blind both saw and spoke. Remember that? And so there are deaf spirits. There are blind spirits. There are. Now, sometimes it's a literal sickness, a literal blindness. It's not always demonic. That's why we need discerning of spirits, to be able to discern whether it's a literal infirmity of the flesh, born sick, born blind, you follow what I'm saying? Or if it is truly demonic. And discerning of spirits will help us to discern either or. Sometimes there is a spirit of sickness as well. There are some that are sick because there's a spirit of infirmity. And sometimes it needs to be discerned and cast out. Amen? Sometimes they need deliverance. Now, in regards to the demonic, let me say this. We don't need to worry as far as Christians that a person or a Christian can be demon-possessed. A born-again believer cannot be demon-possessed. Amen? They cannot. There are stuff sometimes that passes in the church and foolishness. They call them encounter sessions. And here's these ministers casting out demons out of Christians. It's foolishness. It's a bad spirit. It's wrong. It's a familiar spirit. And these things can be wrong. Amen? And sometimes Christians are led to be afraid that, oh no. No. You can have the Spirit of God and the spirit of and the devil abiding in the same place. Amen? It's just not true. So whenever that stuff happens, when there's a bad spirit, these kind of things can begin to happen that are totally wrong. And so we got to say that as we continue going forward. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits is, so to speak, our spiritual sense of smell. It's our defense against the intrusion of such evil spirits. For instance, there's a bad smell. It's like something isn't sitting right. Yeah, it's like a smell. It's like, and not literally a smell, but you know when something smells bad, you know something is wrong, right? Something stinky is around. In the same way, the enemy is someone that stinks. Amen? And all of his powers that be are that way. And it's like a sense of smell to discern. That word discernment in the Greek is diakrisis, which means a judging through. It's a judging through. It's the ability, or it's a distinguishing, or the ability to pierce through the outward, to tear away the mask, and to reach the motivating, animating source of power. It's the ability to see and judge through and beyond the mask. Amen? Remember that one lady that was following Paul. And I don't know if it was Paul and Barnabas or Paul and Silas. I forget which one. But as they were there preaching the gospel, this woman began to say, hey, these are ministers of God. Remember? And she did it many days. And all of a sudden, one day, Paul turned around as he was grieved in the spirit, discerning of spirits. And he says, and he cast that demon out. Remember that? Because she was not speaking the things of God at the moment, even though it seemed to be true what she was saying. That discerning of spirits came into operation and he judged right through it. Amen? And saw through the mask. And so that's how discerning of spirits is. We need this gift, especially in these latter days. There's going to be more manifestations, I believe, of spiritual things. The enemy sometimes deceives by seemingly providing miracles, but they're not of God, and it deceives people. So in the same, there's almost going to be two streams. There's always going to be the true, and there's always going to be the counterfeit. Amen? And so as God begins to move in powerful ways within the church, the devil is going to do the same thing so as to deceive the counterfeit. And so we need these gifts of the Spirit to help us. Amen? Discerning of spirits helps us to discern between the true and the false. Amen? Now, as Christians, listen to this, we will grow in our discernment. As we read the Bible, as we pray, our discernment will grow keener. It will grow sharper. Amen? But the discerning of spirits has nothing to do with our own discernment and its increase. This is something that at the moment he gives you a discernment that you know something is not right, and you just have to just get out or whatever he leads us to do at that particular moment, right? So now let's get into these other gifts. Tongues and interpretation. Tongues and interpretation. Sometimes a lot of people are just looking for the tongues, amen? Now listen to this. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you do speak with other tongues. That's the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But the gift of diverse kinds of tongues is not the prayer language that someone receives when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are two different things. Now let's go forward here. The gift of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in a language never learned by the speaker. So the one that speaks in tongues doesn't know what they're saying. So it's even though I understand Spanish pretty good and can try to speak in it but mess it up when I do, my tongue will not be a broken up, messed up Spanish. Amen? Even though, you know, it's never going to be learned. It's usually never understood by the speaker. Unless God grants an interpretation at a unique point in time, the speaker in tongues usually never understands it. Now, it's not understood by the mind of the speaker, and it's usually not understood by the hearer. Now, that's usually because sometimes it is. In the book of Acts, there on the day of Pentecost, many people that were there visiting from all the quarters of Rome, some of them understood what those people were saying. Some of them were speaking in Italian, some in Latin, some in Greek, some in Hebrew. Well, probably not Hebrew because they were all Jews, right? So they probably weren't speaking in their own tongue. But they were speaking many different languages from all the quarters of Rome, and some said, listen to them, they're glorifying God. Those that were speaking in the tongue didn't know what they were saying, but those that heard and understood said they're glorifying God, right? Neither linguistic ability nor the intellect of man has anything to do with this spiritual gift. Again, it has nothing to do with our learning or understanding of languages. Even if someone was very lingual, some people have the gift of languages. You ever seen those kind? They could learn a language like this. Remember there at the school, we had some of those. I mean, they had like five different dialects and understood them well and spoke them well. I'd be like, man. But when they spoke in tongues, it was not any of those five or four or two. It was unique. Amen. They didn't understand it. Okay. What are the purposes, though, of speaking in other tongues? Number one is that the believer may know that he or she is filled with the Holy Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. The speaking in tongues provides the evidence of the Spirit's infilling. These verses are very, very good to back that up. Okay, we're not going to take the time to break into those, but every time in these occurrences, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, there were tongues as an obvious manifestation for the speaker as well as the listener, amen, the onlooker. In Acts 8:17 and verse 19, it is clearly inferred. Remember, Simon Magus wanted to buy the power to impart the baptism of the Holy Spirit because he saw something happen. Even though it said there was no tongue, and even though it didn't mention tongues, he obviously saw or heard something. And so that's the evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number two is that the believer may be provided with a channel through which to speak to God, to pour out, as one has put it, the unutterable gushings of his soul. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray in tongues, we are praying the mind and will of God. It's a channel through which to talk to God, and it's your spirit praying. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 said, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in my understanding also. He said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in my understanding also. So when we pray in tongues, we're praying in the Spirit. Amen? Our mind is left unfruitful. We don't understand what's going on, but in the Spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. And so, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we should be praying in tongues as much as we can. Amen? Even though our mind conflicts with it because we're not understanding it, keep on praying in tongues, exercising and practicing that gift. Amen? Because we're hitting the mark every time. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be able to speak in tongues. Amen? Amen? So pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Number three, it's also provided so that the believer can magnify God. Every time they were praying in tongues, they were magnifying the Lord. And so we magnify Him by praying in the Spirit. Amen? Acts 10:46 brings that out. Why else? Number four is that the believer may edify themselves. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray in tongues, you're building yourself up. We all need to be built up, don't we? And when you pray in the Spirit, you're building yourself up, spiritually speaking. You're putting spiritual substance on your spiritual house, so to say. Amen? And so it's good to pray in the Spirit. We edify ourselves. Number five is also that by tongues together, with the gift of interpretation, the assemblies of God's saints may be edified. Now, let me bring just a distinction here. The prayer language that we receive when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit is not the gift of tongues. Remember, the gift of tongues is described as diverse kinds of tongues. Kinds of tongues. Many tongues. And so when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks in tongues, has that prayer language, that doesn't mean they automatically have the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. However, that gift of diverse kinds of tongues isn't going to operate when that person is out of the prayer closet and doing their own thing and praying in the Spirit. That will only operate again in the congregation. In the same way that word of prophecy is meant to build up the church. You see, when a person goes into the prayer closet, they're not prophesying to the trees or prophesying in their prayer closet. It just doesn't happen. It's not meant to just be blathered into the air for no edification. It's meant to build up the church. You and me. Amen? The same way, the diverse kinds of tongues, that gift operates in the congregation. In the same way as prophecy, that gift of tongues operates to be interpreted. So the gift of tongues operates to be interpreted. The gift of tongues should not operate if there's not an interpreter, or else we're just wasting airtime. You know what I mean? It's really pointless. It's all vain. If someone speaks in the gift of tongues and there's no interpretation, it's not building anybody up. Amen? Someone can speak in a gift of tongues right now, and if we don't can interpret it, it's not going to benefit us. It's not even going to benefit the one that's spoken. Mm-hmm. But when it's interpreted, then we understand and we can all benefit and be built up and edified. So the gift of diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation are similar in the effect. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, just like that word of prophecy. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says, I would that you all would speak in tongues, but rather that you may prophesy. Why did he say that? Because a prophetic word doesn't need an interpretation. That prophetic word comes forth, and it's going to build up everybody there because everybody understands it. Whereas the gift of diverse kinds of tongues can be spoken, but if there's not an interpreter, then don't speak it because no one's going to benefit. So if it's interpreted, though, the effect is the same. You all kind of hear that? And so again, by tongues, together with that gift of interpretation, the assemblies of God's saints may be edified. Okay? Now, interpretation of tongues. It's the supernatural showing forth by the Spirit of the meaning of the utterance in other tongues. This interpretation is not an operation of the mind of the interpreter, but the mind of the Spirit of God. In the same way, when someone speaks in diverse kinds of tongues, they step out in faith to do it. Amen? In the same way, the interpreter steps out in faith to interpret that tongue. But think about this in regards to the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation is only the meaning of that tongue. It's not a word-for-word translation. So when sometimes you'll hear a gift of tongues operate, and sometimes that language seems like it's really long. And then the interpretation comes out, and that interpretation doesn't seem nowhere near as long as that word in tongues. And so what's the difference? Why is one short, why is one long? Or vice versa. Sometimes the gift of tongues operates and the message is kind of short, then the interpretation seems long. It's not a word-for-word translation. What it is, it's the meaning of that tongue that was given forth. And so sometimes when we hear that, it's paraphrase, or it's the interpretation of it, the meaning, not word for word. And so the meaning should come forth whenever it's interpreted, okay? Now the interpreter never understands the tongue he's interpreting, and it's no part, it's his task to provide the equivalent terms in his own tongue for the supernatural word spoken. The interpretation is just as much a miracle as the original utterance in tongues. Both utterances equally direct from the mind and of the Spirit of God. In other words, they're both by the Spirit. Amen? But again, they're always for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? And so think about that. If you ever hear a message in tongues and the interpretation seems shorter or longer, remember, it's just not a word-for-word translation, but it's the meaning. It's the interpretation of it. and it gives you the gist of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Amen? Now, these gifts are meant to speak to the unbeliever. It's not necessarily meant for us to be like, whoa, wow. But when the unbeliever is in the house and they see these gifts operating, they have to say that the Spirit of God is moving in a supernatural way. This is not in the natural arena. And so the gift of tongues, as well as the gift of interpretation, is meant to show that unbeliever that God is at work in the midst. This is beyond the natural realm. Amen? And that's why tongues and interpretation is unique compared to prophecy. Prophecy is meant to benefit the believer. Amen? The gift of tongues and interpretation, although benefiting the church, is also meant to speak to the unbeliever that God is in the midst. Amen? The Bible says through stammering lips and stammering tongues, or how to say, he would speak to his people. And so that's how that one works. Amen? And so I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So the gifts of the Spirit are interesting. There's no doubt about it. And we need to pray, oh God, give us a greater a thirst and hunger for more of that to operate in the church again. I believe in the past we saw a little bit more of the gifts of the Spirit operate in the church. We're not seeing it as much nowadays, but in these latter days I believe God wants to bring a regained thirst for the gifts of the Spirit in these latter days. Amen? We need God. As we go into prayer, we'll pray the prayer of faith tonight for the many needs that are represented here. But I know my wife and I, we've been, prayer requests have been coming to us, and some of them are really heavy prayer requests. Some of those, you're left without any power, amen, in and of our own selves to do anything. But when we come to God in prayer, God can move in a powerful way. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, amen. We need the gifts of the Spirit because we, in the flesh, can't do anything. We're really left without any ability, really, in ourselves. Amen? But when we have God and we're moving in the Spirit, powerful things can happen. Amen? And so praise the Lord for that. And so tonight, as we go into prayer, let's believe God together for the mighty moving of God. Amen?